Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Across from me, Joe McGranahan is there. Mr. Rob Center is...
No, I'm here.
Is there on the other side of the glass?
Well, I'm here on the other side of the table.
All right. See, that's the nationalist view. I'm the more global view, that you're there and I'm here, but we all get along, and it's kumbaya from here on in.
Well, that must be Marktopia we're talking about.
It's Globotopia. It's a good... This is a good planet to live on, even though you and your Republican friends are trying to besmirch our coastlines.
Why are we besmirching our coastlines? We're trying to protect our borders, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's why you want the planet to be a trillion degrees so all the ice melts and everything.
Yeah, that's right. That was our goal. We want a trillion degree planet. We all want to fry everybody to a crisp.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we'll survive because
we have money.
Why?
You have money.
Oh, in other words, that's all it would take.
You're going to buy yourself into a cooled penthouse.
We're going to live under the ocean until it starts to boil.
Whatever. It'll work. I'm sure you got a plan. You guys have something cooking. You must have another solution.
It must be hard to live in your world.
It's quite easy. The complete absence of common sense, knowledge, and information makes it so much simpler. I just watched this old house all weekend.
You don't have to worry about anything. You've got it all wrong, so it doesn't matter.
So, how was your weekend?
Very good, thank you.
What did you do over those many 3 days? Anything good?
Well, we went to lunch Saturday. That was an experience and a half, but I won't go into that on the air.
Okay. What did you have? Were you confronted by liberals?
No.
Okay.
An unusual set of circumstances.
Okay, all right. Well,
I'll tell you off mic later.
Well, then, why are you torturing our audience this way?
That's what I do.
Right, yeah, good point. I hadn't thought about
torture
that.
Torture the audience.
All right, so that's Joe McGranahan across from me. He is a noted broadcaster with half a century of broadcast experience, so we appreciate him coming in today. Rob Center's on the other side of the glass, fabulous producer. He's coming up on 30 years on the radio, too, so you know, we think he does a good job, too. Matt Catrillo is over in the newsroom. He's just a pup, so he's doing well, though, too, as our news director.
Well, I think he does an excellent job.
Amen. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and you can find out more information at WKOK.com. Check out the On the Mark page. You can connect to them. But Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, and the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. For Text Connect members, just reply to a previous message or set up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, you can sign up at wkok.com. It's an opportunity for you to connect with us, and we would send you maybe up to a dozen breaking news messages a month, maybe less if there's less breaking news, maybe more if we got a lot going on. Hey, and it's an opportunity to send us a short sentence that says something's cooking on the radio. You click on that link if you want to check it out at WKOK.com. If it's something that doesn't have any impact on you, you don't have to connect there. Your usual texting rates would apply, but we don't send you any ads or sell the list to anybody or anything like that. It's just our way of telling you that we're putting something up on WKOK.com and there's something on the radio you may want to know about. So that's how Text Connect works. And the Sunbury Motor Company, how do they work? Well, you go there because you need a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle. I'll tell you what, their pre-owned vehicles have been checked 1,000 times over and are ready to go and cleaned up and in super condition. If you're going to buy a new Ford, Hyundai, or Kia, or Lincoln, that's the right way to go. Joe's got his sights on another big Navigator SUV again. He just loves that hybrid Navigator SUV. It's big and comfortable and fat like he likes, and it's efficient because it's a hybrid that I like. So he knows that irritates me that he's driving a hybrid, and it's another way for you to travel in style thanks to the Sunbury Motor Company. Whether you wanted to get up to 50 gallons per gallon on a smaller hybrid vehicle, or you want to do like Joe does, just make as many trees and gasoline gallons disappear as fast as possible, they've got the vehicle for you. If you got to haul a big family, they got minivans. If you got to make sure that you're hauling cargo, they got the pickup trucks, and if you got to haul one good passenger on the passenger seat and you're going to make a big road trip, they got the vehicle for you. Ford, Hyundai, Kia, Lincoln, Sunbury Motors, sunburymotors.com.
Well, so your weekend was exciting, was it?
Not really.
Okay, well, never mind. I'm sorry I asked. You know, we've talked a lot about, you mentioned nationalism here at the outset of the program.
By definition, how do you define nationalism?
Well, I little differently. It seems to me that nationalism has gotten a bad rap these days. People are saying, oh, well, it's automatically tied into white supremacy. If you love your country, if you think your country is good and it should be protected and things should flow to its benefit, that somehow you're a bad person. That seems to be the way things are going at this moment. They're blasting President Trump, and he's hosting today the guy they call the Trump of the Tropics, Brazil's new president, who is very much like Mr. Trump, according to the pundits.
Well, let's stay on nationalism just for a split
second.
Well,
that is nationalism, because they're accusing this guy in Brazil of being an extreme nationalist, President Trump's tied in with him.
I always think of nationalism, yes, you love your country, but that anybody who doesn't love it as much as you do is bad, or anybody from any other country is bad. And
why would that automatically flow from that? The fact that I love my country means that I wanted yours to go,
I don't think it should,
to hell in a handbasket.
Let's look it up.
Nationalism.
Well, why not? What is the real definition? You and I know how people are using it.
Well, we know how the left is using it. They're using it as
cudgel
to beat
it.
People over the head.
Right.
And the right allegedly uses it as some sort of a place for bigotry and hatred and...
Well, that's how individuals use it. I don't think they invented that. But anyway, it's identification with one's own nation and support for its interests, especially to the exclusion or detriment of the interests of other nations. So you like nationalism. You think it's a good thing that you love
exclusion
your country, especially
detriment.
If
all
it's
right.
at the detriment of other countries and other interests.
I dispute,
that's what you like.
I dispute that definition. I don't think you have to be. I think you can be a nationalist without it being, what was that?
A detriment to the interests
interest of other countries.
Right.
I could support my country, but if it comes up to my country in Jotopia and Marktopia, and I want Jotopia to prevail, is that wrong?
Well, and I think what you're talking about is really patriotism. That's the idea that, you support your country. You also support other countries. I mean, you would love nothing more than to have Venezuela be the next be the next great country in the globe, not socialist, but in your preference or in mine. But I'm just saying. So I think you're thinking of nationalism, but I think the real definition of nationalism, which you may not even intend, involves the detriment of others.
Okay, no, I don't intend that. I think you can be nationalistic. You can love your country and want the best for it and identify with it without that necessarily meaning that you want to trample on other people's rights. If you said to me, do I think America is greater than Guatemala? Yes, I sure do. But do I want anything bad to happen to Guatemala? No. And to the extent that we can help them,
having
we should
established
help them.
That, let's
right.
move on.
Well, no, but I think that the problem today is that nationalism is getting a bad rap, largely because, they all go back to Hitler. Oh, it's like Nazism. Well, it was the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So nationalism was in it, so was socialism. But they seem to forget that socialism was part of it. They just want to focus on nationalism. And I think it was Teddy Roosevelt who said didn't like anyism. He said there should be no isms except Americanism.
Weren't the Beatles, didn't they do something about isms?
I don't know. I don't remember that
song. One of the
Beatles
spoke out against isms.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with being nationalistic. It depends, again, on how you use it. If you use it as a tool for bigotry or oppression or something like that, then it isn't good.
And all of this is important today because...
Well, because of all that's going on. I looked it over the weekend. Well, take for example, now they're saying that this guy who attacked the mosque in New Zealand was a nationalist, a white supremacist and a nationalist.
From Australia.
Australia, right. So, you know, automatically they want to go back now and say that President Trump inspired this guy by his rhetoric, his nationalism.
Did he say something about Trump in his manifesto?
He may have. I don't know. But, you know, if I go out and commit a horrible crime and I mention Mark Lawrence in my manifesto, does that mean you're responsible for it?
Not responsible.
Well, they all say it's the language, you know, that he emboldens and empowers people who hold these terrible views to do the horrible things they do.
You don't see that connection.
No, I don't see that connection. It doesn't matter. I mean, if I came on the air and said, I think somebody ought to be murdered, you know, that's pretty bad. But if I come on the air and say, you know, I think this group of people needs to adjust their way of thinking in this regard, or I dispute what this group of people is saying, that doesn't mean I hate them. That doesn't mean I wish them ill. It just means that we have a difference of opinion. And for some reason today, that's not acceptable. We all have to march in lockstep. I was appalled over the weekend when I saw how this group, this young student from, I forget where she was, came down on Chelsea Clinton, because Chelsea Clinton had the temerity to say that anti-Semitism was wrong. And this girl accused her, by the tweet she put out or the message she put out, of being responsible for the massacre in New Zealand. Now, come on. What is happening to us here?
Well, that's a tempest in a teapot. I wouldn't read too much into that. We can read that full clipping with the transcriptions. I tried to get the audio from that video. It's just inaudible. If you are following along with the transcription that people give you, you can agree that that's what she's saying, but you can't hear the audio. So that's Chelsea Clinton.
I could hear the audio. I didn't have any trouble with it.
Okay. So President Trump, let's get back to how we're stepping off into this topic, is President Trump does embolden people to take violent action. And it's plainly simple to see, because you have him endorsing and supporting people who are told, if you see something, go ahead and speak out against it. Don't worry about the fact that it's, you know, rude or ignorant or could be insightful, but mostly just not, I mean, as to incite somebody, not full of, you know, positive insights, that it is, I don't know, it's just part of his assertiveness and this idea that he doesn't have any filter. You know, he's like a guy that just speaks anything that's on his mind, so that's fine. It's almost like he has, like, Twitter Tourette's or something.
And Congressman Omar has a filter, does she?
Well, she needs one, too. And so does Joe Biden. Some of the I was watching Fox over the weekend. They were going back to some of his old, these are probably some of the 10, 20, 30 years old, some of these. He's said some horrendous things over the years. And, of course, you and I know he behaves creepily at times anyway. But in any event, President Trump does embolden these individuals to take decisive and sometimes violent action through his rhetoric. It's because he encourages people to ignore your common sense and societal and civil filter and to go ahead and just act and do and behave any way you wish to. Don't worry about that. Because you're in charge, large and in charge, it's perfectly okay. So that's what Joe and I are talking about, that nationalism is the general heading, this idea that America first, to the detriment of other countries. Joe doesn't agree with the detrimental part, but America first is sound policy, provided that you don't hurt anybody else.
Well, CNN wrote a story this morning.
All right, we're going to read that in a minute.
Well, just let me read the first paragraph.
Okay.
You always say that. We do know, however, that Trump minimized the threat of white nationalism on Friday when he said that he doesn't see it as a major threat. The president must not have read his own counterterrorism strategy before he signed it, because it specifically talks about the threat of nationalist movements to America. So if there's a nationalist movement in North Korea and you go to North Korea and they arrest you because you're an American, that's carrying nationalism to the extreme and it's wrong. But if the North Koreans take pride in their country and their scientific achievements and they don't harm anyone else, explain to me how that's bad.
Well, it's as simple as the definitions. Nationalism is considered sort of an arrogant attitude. There's just no other way around it. If you're going to use nationalism the way it's meant to be used, it's that the interests of others don't matter, only your interests matter. You're crossing out in your brain the word patriotism and writing in nationalism for the sake of this discussion.
I don't think they're interchangeable.
Well, they're definitely not. Patriotism means our country first, and you support your country. If there's something it's lacking, you know, we always say, you know, we're, what, number 54 or something in infant mortality. So, you know, I'm very patriotic about that. I think we should be number one, and we should help other countries be number one, and we should definitely, you know, improve.
Well, we can't all be number one, Mark. Would we all get a participation medal?
Well, I'm just saying, when it comes to infant mortality, the more, the better off.
We all should be number one.
The better off everybody is, the better off we all are. So, but I really think you're not looking at nationalism in the right way. You've developed your own definition that you think is okay, and I happen to know you as a human, so I know you in a one sense really don't feel that other countries should in any way be harmed by our national interests.
But we have harmed other countries, and other countries have harmed us.
That's another topic.
But that doesn't mean it's nationalism.
Please join us on this conversation, folks. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. We are kind of into the weeds on this nationalism topic, but the bottom line is, tell me why the president does not embolden people to take violent actions. 1-800-795-9565. Just common sense sensibilities. It seems very obvious to me that it's true, but I would love to be refuted. Many conservatives say that he does not, that this divisive rhetoric is nothing more than just his strong feelings voiced, and that's they don't have any action phase to them for others. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Tell me that the president's rhetoric doesn't embolden people to take violent action.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, start from the text, the email, and then we'll go to Than.
All right, the text says, why shouldn't the government of this country put America's interests first? We finally have a president who does just that. And then the email says, the suspected shooter reportedly wrote in a more than 70-page manifesto that he somewhat supported Trump, quote, as a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose, question mark, sure. As a policymaker and leader, dear God, no. That's from the Hill website, and Norm sent that in.
All right. Than, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. I have a lot of trouble, Mark, figuring out how your partner there, Joe, who I know quite well, can stand up for this man who says, lock her up, lock her up. That is not, I mean, that is a white nationalist. That is a dictatorial sort of a statement. That's just one of many. Beat the hell out of him. I'll pay for a lawyer to get you off. If you were putting somebody in the back of the car, officer, don't worry about their head hitting the top of the car. That is a very, very ugly statement. And there are a million of them. And Joe, I honestly don't understand how you give this guy every ability to bypass any kind of civility, and you jump all over.
You should have put a period
Democrat,
after
it. You
should
and have put you a, do you jump should... over Democrat, all over Democrats who say things that aren't even nearly as nasty as that.
Oh, come now. You should have put a period after, I don't understand.
Oh, well, insults are one thing, Joe.
Well, you're insulting me. Hey, pal, you're insulting me. You don't understand how I could do this or that. You know, you're insulting me, so I'm just giving it back.
Wait, no, I'm questioning.
Well, that's what I was doing. I was questioning, too.
I happen to know how smart you are. I happen to know some of your thinking. I remember you saying to me when I was there sitting across from you, don't insult people. You said you're talking over people. And, Joe, you're insulting me every time you say the only reason he doesn't like Trump is because Hillary doesn't win. No, I don't like Trump because I'm an American citizen who believes in a constitution that's not being followed by the dingleberry who is our president.
Well, you know, you didn't, obviously you didn't watch the speech that President Trump gave, or a little talk he gave while he was vetoing the resolution on Friday, because CNN and MSNBC over-talked the Attorney General explaining why the president had the absolute right to do that based on prior law. Neither one of those networks carried that, the explanation. But Fox did. And they
I got the explanation from those two networks.
You didn't hear it directly.
I wonder why you didn't.
You didn't hear it directly from the Attorney General because they were talking over him.
Well, no, but they played the whole thing over and over and over again, Joe.
With their editorial comments instead of letting it come out just the way it was intended to come out.
Well,
but I don't think
arguing
saying,
about the networks, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather argue about the Constitution.
Okay, well, explain to me, Than, how it's unconstitutional to say lock her up and why that's racist. You just said it was. Why is that racist?
It's fascist. It's plain fascist.
So if I said Al Capone's a crook, lock him up, I'm a fascist.
Well, wait a minute. A political opponent is who he was saying this about. That's fascism, sir. And I don't think you can get around that.
Have you followed the latest stories about the FBI, the testimony coming out from Peter Strzok and Lisa Page on how the FBI interfered to keep Hillary Clinton from being charged?
Have you ever figured out...
I asked you a question, yes or no question.
Yes, of course I have heard that. I also look through the papers and the networks, and I have to tell you, that Fox has completely lost me.
Right.
Now that they have become America's Pravda, the mouthpiece of a really, in my estimation, bad president, I really don't go there very often. They've got about three good reporters, and the rest of them are toadies to the president.
All right, we got you, Than. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you very much.
A presidential toady.
From Than to... to laugh and stand.
It's good for comic relief every morning.
Come on.
Well, you know, he's violating the Constitution, but nobody ever gives a good example why he's violating the Constitution, Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump has the authority to do what he's doing. The Congress is the one that gave it to him, but yet, because it's Mr. Trump, they don't want him to be able to use that authority, because they don't like Mr. Trump. That's all it comes down to. And as far as Fox being Pravda for him, is that why they took Judge Jeanine off Saturday night? Because of what she said about Miss Omar, the Miss Congressman that's an anti-Semite and doesn't believe that Mr. Trump is human?
Well, apparently she lost some advertisers. That's where they crossed the line. If they lose money, well, then you're off the air.
Well, on the other hand,
they bowed down to care. To the Islamic Sharia organization is why they did, because they complained a little bit. So that's why they pulled her. She said nothing wrong. She was asking a question.
And the president tweeted that she should be put back on the air over the weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's his favorite show.
So I guess the First Amendment doesn't apply to anybody that disagrees with the CARE organization or the leftists in this country. So First Amendment doesn't apply to them.
Why did Fox say they suspended her? I mean, it's obvious because she lost
because her talk wasn't the speech. They didn't feel that she represented them well in what she said. They disagreed with the way she said it. They disagreed with what she said.
Okay.
But they also refused to say that they took her off the air. They said they dealt with her personally and they would not discuss their scheduling.
She just happened to not be on the air, sort of their
right. They wouldn't discuss scheduling with you.
Okay.
So, I mean, I look at what that student yelled at Chelsea Clinton. It's because of you, because what you put out there, that's why there was an attack on a mosque in New Zealand. People are just going off the wall with this stuff. You know, they want to blame everybody for everything.
There was an attack in New Zealand because they had a moron. That, besides, it's pretty hard for people to get firearms in New Zealand, from my understanding.
And it's going
to
get harder.
You have to jump through all kinds of hoops, take all kinds of classes, get permission from everybody in the government, and then store all firearms in gun clubs. So how did this guy get his weapon in New Zealand?
Well, he bought four guns legally from one gun shop owner who came forward, but not the high-powered weapon, apparently, that he used in the shootings. And now the Prime Minister of New Zealand is saying that she and her cabinet are going to ban assault rifles.
I thought they were already banned in like they were in Australia.
Apparently not.
I could be wrong.
Well, apparently not. She's talking about bringing out new and stricter gun control legislation this week.
All right. And as usual, that'll do nothing.
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
Thanks, call Stan. Back. Appreciate that. All right. Thank you so much, callers. We're going to keep this conversation going. We're going to get to the bottom of this so that we can make our country better to the detriment of others. 1-800-795-9565 will be the number to help you embolden us to decisive dialing action during the 9 a.m. hour. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is across me. Rob Center's the fabulous producer. We've got 1 hour left, so get your calls in now. 1-800-795-9565 is the important series of telephone numbers. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. That's 1-800-795-9565. It's sponsored by the Hometown Pharmacies. They have a simple message. If you're going to the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, or Lewisburg Pharmacy, you'll of course be doing yourself a favor. You get very competitive prices, super service. They'll deliver if they have to. I mean, if you need them to, I guess.
Well, it sounds like you got to drag it out of them.
if you absolutely positively have to have it delivered,
we'll do it.
They'll do it.
But we won't be happy about it. No, they'll be delighted about it.
They'll be happy. So some of them got drug take-back boxes, and they just love to super serve their clients. So you're definitely doing yourself a favor, and you're doing your community a favor, because every dollar spent locally gets spent locally 10 times over when you favor a hometown pharmacy. What does that mean? Well, that means that dollar that you take there, the employees and owners, get to use that dollar, and they get to go out into the community, and they go to the local post office and the local restaurants and the local body shops and the local car shops and the local gymnasiums and the local fitness center and the local restaurants.
I think we got you. Okay. Go local.
Right. Yeah, that's the key, is that they go and they stay local. And that's the key when you shop at Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Norrie Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Shade Mountain Pharmacy. They would love to super serve you. And the last thing they want to do is deliver. No, I'm just kidding. That is not true. They love delivering, okay?
But those that do.
Don't believe. Do as I say, not as I do. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're going to have news headlines at 20 minutes after the hour. So stand by for that. So I'll have news headlines at 20 minutes after the
hour.
Did
you forget to bring them in?
No, he's over there updating the fire story. So I'll just wait till I have the updates, and then we'll have that. So we have updated news. 1-800-795-9565. Two emails now. Or did you read the middle one publicly?
No, I didn't read either of these.
Okay.
One's an email, one's a text. The email says, the definition of nationalism that includes a view of immigrants as invaders who will degrade the white race and characterizes them as inferior and dangerous is the view that is shared by our president and the killer. Boy, I would dispute that. You know, have you ever heard the president say anything along those lines?
Well, he calls them invaders. I don't know that he'd
say. He talked about an invasion at the border where hundreds of thousands of people are coming across. What do you call that?
Well,
if you had 10,000 people trying to get into your house, what would you call it?
He's talking about...
No, come on, what would you call it?
He's not talking about illegal immigration. He's talking about individuals seeking asylum, which is a perfectly legal and slow-motion way to get into the U.S. Hold on. I need the whole page printed out. So hit print on the whole thing. Okay? Thank you.
Those were off the mic instructions to Matt Cotrillo, the news director.
Might as well just tell him what I need done because he did everything else that I need done, but I need one more thing. So,
all right.
In any event, he does call them invaders if they're coming in the U.S. illegally. And
well, is that an unfair characterization?
I'm not sure that that's an unfair characterization, but half the time he's talking about individuals seeking asylum who are families that are going through this slow-motion process, many of whom are, first of all, turned away and don't make it into the U.S., at least not initially. And those who do go through a prolonged process of assimilation, and of course, that's where he was doing the family separation thing. They supposedly still do that.
That started with by President Obama, you mean, that family separation.
Right, this
thing.
Idea that children shouldn't be kept with their kids. So President Trump, of course, stepped it up. He's the one who owns it.
Yeah, those photographs that the left brought out of the kids in cages were from the Obama administration. You do recall
that,
don't
was
you?
From a processing facility. Those people
Well, there were kids in cages, but it was okay when Barack Obama put them in there.
No, it's very, very bad. Come on.
Okay.
Gosh.
Then the text says, so the president encourages violence against people. So does the name Maxine Waters come to mind? Just saying.
Yeah, what did she do? Refresh our memory.
She's the one who said that you shouldn't give any peace and quiet or rest to any Republican official who's having dinner at a restaurant, or if you see them out in the public, yell at them, scream at them, curse at them.
Okay. All right. Eric, you're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. And certainly nationalism is an important topic. But as often when I call in, I like to bring the focus more locally. And I have a concern this morning. Surprise. Port Treverton, I should say, not Port Treverton, because Port Treverton has a post office, but we're a village. We have no local incorporation. Let's say Chapman Township had two new establishments open over the weekend, bringing business into the township. One would think, good. We welcome Dollar General Store, which I believe that, myself, Hillster's General Store can handle all your needs, but Dollar General will be open on Sunday. So if you need a gallon of milk or some laundry...
All right, well, we have another topic going on right now, so go ahead and do your point. We'll see if that grabs hold. We'll let you summarize what your important viewpoint is, and then after we're finished with this discussion, we'll take that up in even greater depth. So what's the key? You don't like the big bucks, Dollar General?
No, not at all. No, I said I welcome them. Okay. No, the second business that opened is Adult Playground. There's a new porn shop opened in Chapman Township, Snyder County. And there's, to my knowledge, there's not a darn thing we as the citizens of this township of Snyder County can do about it.
Okay.
And it has live sex shows. It has...
You mean with live people?
Yes.
Yikes.
It's advertising lap dances. It's advertising peep shows. And there's, to my knowledge, and there's nothing that I as a citizen of this area can do about it. My question to Joe is, how's come, with Schmuck and Dam and your huge population, why would you
go,
have
Joe,
one up there?
Fix this, will you, please?
Well, we have zoning. Maybe you don't have zoning down there. Everybody says, zoning's horrible. We don't want none of that. But then something moves into your neighborhood you really don't want, and zoning becomes something you wish you had.
Well, we can ask Mike Pietzu. He's probably examined this. Yep, good topic, Eric. Thank you. I'll make
a note.
We'll
get back to that.
Yep, and we'll let Mike know that this has been brought up, and that's noteworthy. Well, and he'll know about the zoning angle as it relates to Monroe Township, or did... Or
no,
Chapman Township.
Chapman Township.
Okay. All right. We are talking about nationalism, which by definition, this is the textbook definition, this is not the definition people always use, is placing your country first to the detriment of the interests and the well-being of individuals in other countries. Some people say the president takes that too far. We talked about some other presidents in other countries taking it too far. And I've asked the question, in what way does the president's strong nationalistic viewpoint promote violence by individuals who may feel emboldened by him. They may not even support him or know about him, but in what way does that prompt violence? And we got some callers with an answer to the question. We'll start with Lance. He's next in line. Thank you so much, Lance, for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yeah, well, good. Fine morning here.
Thank you.
You know, our country was being kicked for so long by so many countries who really were just acting on their own behalf to the detriment of us.
Example?
Foreign trade. You take a look at all of the tariffs and everything that was on our goods and everything.
But don't we allow that to happen?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right?
So whose
people
fault is
here
this?
Allowed it to happen.
So our bad government allowed that to happen, or some of our
bad
government
leaders. Did. Well, take for instance here, just with Barack Obama, during Barack Obama's two terms, 210,000 manufacturing jobs left in the first 2 years of our president we have now. 473,000 jobs were added. These are manufacturing jobs. And the people here who got tired of our government allowing this to happen decided to do something about it. And that's exactly what happened. Even if you, we'll take for instance like NATO, taking care of their own defense. That's a good example, isn't it? Here we are spending, 3.5% of GDP on defense, and they didn't even get to 2. And yet, we're supposed to take care of them. I mean, sooner or later, I mean, you kick a dog enough times, he's going to bite.
So the president is right, in your view, with some of this decision-making that, you know, draws back some of that money and supports, you know, U.S. national interests.
Well, yes. I mean, goodness. The God's unfailing boomerang. I mean, those countries threw it out, and it comes back.
All right,
and,
we got
and that's exactly what is happening. I mean, it's a natural phenomenon. I mean, you just can't take it like that forever. I mean, take a look. The big deal was all the jobs that were being lost, and the people who voted for Trump looked across the street and they saw the jobs that were there once and are gone now and gone to China, to people who hate our everything that we stand for, don't they? I mean, they're communists, that's for sure, and we're capitalists, and they're so far, at least I like to think they're so far afield from where we are.
All right. We got you, Lance.
Good point.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you again. Harry, you are next up on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I have to say I'm in lockstep, which is probably a bad term to use with what we're talking about with the nationalism with Lance on this.
You're in jackbooted lockstep. Is that what the image we're getting?
Well, that's the image you're portraying.
Going by the perverted version of nationalism that you found on wherever you found that when you did it, you know, that's fine. But nationalism, being proud of where you're from and what you stand for and what your country does or used to stand for and is supposed to stand for, that's not necessarily bad. If you, I am pro-American and I am pro, pro for America doing well. I don't care that I'm not looking for somebody else to do poorly. I'm looking for Americans to do well. And I think that Lance's point, too, what I would further expound on that is when you talk about nationalism, we all worry about global economy and global this, globalization. And in the meantime, GM and Ford and all these other companies take everything offshore, take jobs away, tax money away from this country. And because they take stuff to other countries as their home base, you take jobs away and then say, oh well, if you want those jobs to come back, now you're bigoted and xenophobic and everything else. No, we want stuff to be made here. It's like when Walmart first started. Sam Walton wanted stuff made in America by Americans for Americans. Now Walmart stands for just give me all the cash you have. What's wrong with being nationalistic and wanting that that original concept to come back? That's not hurting anybody else. That's helping your country, which in turn will help everybody else.
What amazes me, though, Harry, is some people on the left are always saying, oh, we should be respectful of these other people's cultures when they come to this country instead of expecting them to assimilate. But all we're saying, all nationalists are saying is, I'm proud of America and I want to be part of America. And I think if it's a Brazilian, he could have the same feeling. Someone in Israel could have the same feeling. Someone in Syria could have the same feeling.
I think
about
most
their
people
country.
On the left would appreciate if you could do both. Assimilate,
well,
you know, certainly
you?
Encourage. Well, you can. That's what people did in the U.S. I mean, you think of individuals, let's say Italian Americans, who held on to their good, you know, the family ties, the way their families were set up, and, you know, I don't know, good cooking and language, but at the same time are fully Americans and, you know, fought in our wars. Patriotism is probably what your national, the definition of nationalism involves, you know, loving your country to the detriment of others. I think you're describing patriotism, which is described as patriotism or national pride, a feeling of love, devotion, and sense of attachment to a homeland and alliance to other citizens who feel the same way. So,
yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I just think that the rest of it is an editorial comment that I want detriment to the others. I'll give you a practical example, though, of what you were just saying. My mother is only a second-generation American, okay? And her family came over from Poland. And I can remember, I never met my grandfather. He died of black lung disease almost exactly a year before I was born. But my grandmother and the rest of the family, you had gatherings, and there was Polish being spoken. There was pride in being Polish, but they were American above all. And my Uncle Henry, my Uncle Joe, my Uncle Eddie, and my Uncle Tony, all the boys in that family served in the United States Army. All of them did time. Well, actually, my Uncle Henry was in the Navy. But my Uncle Joe did 3 tours in Vietnam. My Uncle Eddie did 2. My Uncle Henry was in World War II. My Uncle Joe was also in Korea in addition to Vietnam. Now that, they were nationalists because they were proud to be American, but they also did not give up their Polish heritage.
Did you serve? Are you a vet? I don't recall.
I was not accepted because of a knee injury.
Oh dear, okay. All right. At least you volunteered, or you tried. That's noteworthy, too.
You bring up a couple of good points, Harry, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think that we like to use these terms to beat each other over the head instead of stopping to analyze what the intent is of the people who are using them.
Yeah, good point. All right, thank you so much. Oops, go ahead,
Harry. The problem is that if you have a belief like that, now you're an extremist. I'm not an extremist. I'm proud to be American. I'm proud for what America stands for or what it's supposed to stand for. And if I want to see a company do well here and not go offshore, that doesn't mean I'm being to the detriment of another country who would get jobs from that. Why do I care if somebody makes $5 an hour there when they could be making $20 an hour here?
All right, we got you, Harry. Thank you so much.
Good point.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. We're going to take a quick break. I have just 2 brief news headlines. That'll be all that we have to do in the news headlines. We got a caller waiting, and I have to take a break. So we got one email that relates to our topic. Most likely, it says, these headlines say, it was a garage fire that was reported this morning in Western Union County. Central Susquehanna Regional 911 says the fire was first reported around 1 a.m. today on Quail Lane in Hartley Township, Union County. Emergency responders say the fire was fully involved and starting to spread to the home when they got there, but that was quickly put out. Extent of full damage not known. Volunteers from West End, Mifflinburg, New Berlin, Beaver Springs, and Penns Creek responded. And another important teen suicide discussion tomorrow night. A public forum on the topic will be held Tuesday night at the Midwest High School Auditorium, 6:30 p.m. Leading the panel will be Tim Noster of Bloomsburg University's McDowell Institute. In addition to McDowell, panelists include President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way, Joanne Trauman, and the Snyder County DA, Mike Pietsu, Judge Mike Shawley, Chair of the Union Snyder County's Children's Roundtable, will also be on the panel along with representatives from Geisinger, the CSIU, and the CMSU. Attendees will be able to submit questions to the panel as well as hear different presentations from the panel. Afterward, there'll be an agency fair, which will allow the conversation to continue on the teen suicide topic. So this is tomorrow tomorrow night, Midwest High School, 6:30 p.m. informational session for parents and everybody in every community around here. All right, Dan, stand by. We're taking a quick break. 1-800-795-9565 is the number for the rest of the open lines.
Hometown Pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. Nationalism by textbook definition involves loving your country so much that it involves the detriment of other countries or the interests of outside individuals. Most of our people like Joe and Harry are really talking about what's, as near as I can tell, the pure definition of patriotism. That's loving this country, but of course, embracing and enduring a limited legal immigration and allowing those individuals to, yes, assimilate, but also to hold on to the best of their
culture,
too.
So you're
saying
nationalism automatically means that you don't want anybody coming into this country who isn't from here?
No. I think you can use nationalism however you want to. I'm just saying what the real definition is. And when we're holding a discussion here and other people are calling others out for being nationalists, saying it's not ideal to be a nationalist if you feel that it should be to the detriment of other countries, that we're clear that that's not what you personally are talking about. Some folks are arguing that's not precisely what the president is talking about. And I'm just saying, by definition, if you're going to have a global conversation, let's use the right definition. And you both are talking about patriotism, so cross out nationalism in your census and write in patriotism. To that end, we need Dan's input on this topic because he feels strongly about living in USA.
You only read one of the two definitions for nationalism, and I think that was a little disingenuous.
Oh, I didn't even know such a thing
the
existed.
The second one is advocacy of or support for the political independence of a particular nation or people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's a second
definition. That's the
definition.
One you're using. Okay, well, that's the lesser known one. Dan, go ahead now, please.
Oh,
I never heard of that one.
It's right below the one you read, Mark.
Oh, is it? Oh, in what, Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, a very good topic this morning, and I believe Trump is a nationalist in the right sense of the word. You can call it a patriot. And every time Trump comes out at a rally, they play one of my favorite songs by Lee Greenwood, Proud to Be an American. And I think that's what he's talking about in patriotism. And I think it's very unfair the way they paint Trump a racist. I think that's so cheap of the left. When he's no racist at all. He brings ethnic groups in legally, whoever they are. And you know, that's Trump is a good patriot nationalist in the right sense of the word. And when they bring up the fact that Trump at rallies, they said, lock her up. That doesn't make him a bigot or racist or any of that. I think what they were saying was Hillary got away with so much riffraff stuff that that's the reason they were bringing that up at the rally, lock her up. She had so many the Clintons had so many scandals in their past. Then with the whitewashed email and the servers being in the basement where no security, everything that came in security wasn't secure at all. That's what I get it, why they were saying that at the rallies.
Well, that's but that doesn't, that there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you want, I mean, I don't like this idea of lock her up. Or now they're saying there, other individuals are saying about the president, lock him up. I don't.
Right,
that's okay, right?
No, I don't really like that. I don't think it's. But in any event, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you think somebody committed a crime, then go ahead and if that's. You know,
I think Felicity Huffman committed a crime. Lock her up. Does that make me a racist?
After Trump got elected, you know what the first thing he said was about all them investigations into the Clintons. He said, let's just move on and not get into that. But after a while, they investigated him so much that now I think he's back on it more because of the dossier they used against him. The Clintons paid for that, and the upper echelon of the FBI was corrupt. Now, when we say that, people, we're not saying the whole FBI's corrupt. We're saying the upper echelon, and they had a problem back when J. Edgar Hoover was up there. He left the power go to his head, and they had to roust him out, you know, because power can go to your head, and that's what happened. They didn't want no Trump to get elected up there in the upper echelon of the FBI, and that's coming out more and more. Now, I read books about it 2 years ago. It finally is getting out in the press more what's happened. I don't know if there'll be any prosecutions because of it, but there should be. So that this is a country, let me say this, I started out with nothing. Basically, I had nothing. I was a poor country boy, and today I own a home, cars, motorcycles, whatever, and plus investments. I'm not rich, but I certainly gained in America, and there's no other place in the world where I could have started out with zero and ended up with something in my name. And that's why I'm patriotic, and that's why a lot
well,
of
there's
us
other
love
countries.
America.
There's capitalist countries where you can build yourself up from zero.
Right.
We're not the only capitalist country in the world.
Well, we're one of the few. There's very few other ones
so.
Like us.
And, well, anyway.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, I talked to the Bloomsburg Fair 1 year. I talked to a gentleman from a socialist country. Here's what he told me. He said, you know, he called me Mr. I won't say my last name on the air. But he said, you know, I started out with nothing over there where he was. And he said, you know what? I kept most of it.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much.
You guys have a good
you
one.
Too.
Yep. Appreciate the call.
You know, what's interesting is President Trump is meeting today with the Brazilian president, Bolsonaro. And this story from CNN this morning said, while Trump reacts to the terrorist attack in New Zealand, he's about to welcome the Trump of the tropics, the far-right president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, to the White House. Bolsonaro and Trump have more than a few things in common, including nationalist views. Any profile of Bolsonaro, whom Trump is expected to see today, would include a description of his far-right views. He campaigned on a nationalist platform which included Trump-esque rhetoric, including criticizing the media and the left. He's also known for his racist, homophobic, and sexist remarks. So the president is a nationalist because he criticized the media and the left. gee, I guess they're above criticism and they're above reproach, right?
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is Joe Wright. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. We have an email that does not relate to nationalism. It is not. It is just a general complaint about President Trump, but it's about his tweets about John McCain over the weekend. So we'll be reading that out loud shortly here on WKOK. And we'll take all comers now at 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That is the Hometown Pharmacies toll-free line. We thank the Hometown Pharmacies like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, Norrie Pharmacy, and the Shade Mountain Pharmacy for their sponsorship. Very easy to get to the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street, incidentally. The construction, there's a stop sign before that on Duke Street before you get to the Norrie Pharmacy, but you can go right past the stop after you stop and go right to the pharmacy. That street is wide open. Okay. One of our good listeners sent us a note about nationalism.
Right. It says, Joe, please let me hear you.
Wrong one.
Morning, fellas. This really is getting tiresome. We all, even our liberal Democrat friends, know the truth. Our economy, our military, our border policy, et cetera, even the general mindset of our citizens have all been on the upward spiral since we elected our current president. Okay. And that's the whole truth. This hatred for him has gotten way out of hand. Our country needed something to happen and happen big time.
Wait a second. It's not hatred. This is a vibrant democracy. We're allowed to discuss government here. If you criticize existing government, you don't hate your government or your country or the president.
People hate him. I mean, listen to
Do you think people hated President Obama when he was?
I think some did. Some on the right hated President Obama.
Well, okay.
I think
Sean
they hated
Hannity.
His policies, but not him personally.
Right. Okay.
Some may have hated him personally.
I just don't like the hatred.
Okay.
Anyway.
Our writer says, I am a conservative, a veteran, and what many would label as an evangelical and a nationalist as well. And unlike every other country on earth, was founded on the Judeo-Christian values. And I know the Almighty still looks down on us as a very special place in this world of ours. But all these liberals want to do is tear down everything that keeps the USA so special. Yes, fellas, if you believe in the truth about America, you are one too. I believe our God saw what was happening and sent Mr. Trump to us to help clean up the mess that Obama, Clinton, and the rest of the Kool-Aid drinkers brought about. And if you don't like his solutions, you are part of the problem. God has blessed our land and is still with us, by golly, and thank God for that. And that's the truth, by gum, that's the truth. The liberals simply need to cut the crap and grow up, that's all. Signed, David.
All right. We appreciate the email.
So there, Mark.
Noted.
Cut the crap and grow up.
I do appreciate that. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We have open phones.
Colorful.
You heard the response from Dave.
David, yes.
Dave, who's not on the Hill, it'd be Dave on the farm. And so we appreciate that. Feels very strongly that Democrats are trying to tear down this country.
So do you believe the president was sent to us by God?
That is kind of a funny thing to answer. I don't know. I don't really know much about it, but I know a lot of people feel as though everything happens for a reason and that God is kind of this overall orchestrator of things. And I don't know that much about it. It doesn't have a lot to do with my life, so I've never really delved too far into it. So I don't know. I do know what Dave said is true. A lot of people feel that God, you know, looks down on the U.S. with special favor and disfavors other countries and looks on President Trump with favor and disfavors individuals who criticize him. I don't believe that.
Well,
for
until
a minute.
Quite recently, when we have had national problems, we have always, as a country, called on God for his aid and his help.
Well, I think God's been a big
part
of this country
forever. Our currency says, in God we trust, you know, but today we don't allow prayer in the schools, although we do allow silent devotions, right?
You're allowed. No, but you can go to a private school and pray all day long if you want to. But the public schools are, unfortunately, in the U.S., the public schools are a division of government.
And public money is a division of government, but it says, in God we trust on it.
Right. Why did you put that in there? That's back from your time. When was In God We Trust added to the dollar?
I think during the Depression in the 30s. I may be wrong in that. But I remember the words under God were added to the Pledge of Allegiance in the 50s.
Okay.
And there's no comma there. Some people say one nation under God,
comma,
indivisible, but it's one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And the difference when you're meaning it would be?
Well, I mean, there's no comma there. I'm just saying we should read the punctuation.
There is no comma. First thing
you learn in broadcasting, read the punctuation.
Oh, I gotcha. You mean like you're talking into your phone?
Right.
Under God.
Under
comma.
God. Comma. Right.
All right.
No, you don't have to say the punctuation. You just have to read it.
We got one email that relates to President Trump. Some individuals not happy with the president's remarks over the weekend about John McCain. And so that relates to President's tweets. We've been talking about nationalism. One of our callers earlier, Eric, said he's not happy that there's an adult-oriented business that's popping up in Snyder County, specifically Chapman Township. So as we fully address open phones, we can discuss that. I'm going to take the last break of the day, and we'll get that out of the way. But we have four open lines right now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We've got a call coming in. We have an email that relates to the president's tweets. We'll read that on the radio. And perhaps we can discuss the topic of your selection. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, two callers waiting. 9:48 in the morning. If you want to occupy the remaining two lines, 1-800-795-9565. We talked about nationalism, but we got open phones, so you can talk about the topic of your choice. Cindy, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Listen, I just don't buy the argument that we should blame President Trump for every mad person's bad behavior. I think that really undersells our fellow citizens of the world. People make their own choices, and if you're going to say that the speech of any one person causes good or bad to occur, then I beg you to consider what President John Fitzgerald Kennedy once said, which was, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And yet we see that school board positions go begging. People aren't volunteering for the fire company. They're stopping certain celebrations because they can't get enough volunteers. And yet never a day goes by that I don't hear someone saying, where's my this and give me that. So, you know, to suggest that any one person's speech motivates others in a great way to change their behavior, I just think that's preposterous.
I don't think that he causes it per se, but do you think it encourages it?
Again, I say, Mark.
Okay. All right. Well, I know
said,
what the answer is. No,
hardly.
It doesn't. Okay.
Where are all the people rushing out to volunteer? You know, I give credit to the 1% of the population of this country that served in the U.S. military. I gave thought to it and chose not to. I have served my community in many other capacities, but I've heard you lament. I've heard other people talk about the lack of volunteerism, the lack of contributions around our region and in the country as a whole. So I just find this to ring hollow, to blame anybody or credit anybody for individuals. We are each responsible for our own behavior, and we make a terrible mistake and yet do it so frequently when we try to move that behavioral credit to someone else. It's your responsibility. You chose the behavior, And to suggest that something that a president in a whole other country said might have prompted this man in Australia, I just think, really, you've jumped off the deep end.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Cindy.
In TV terms, they call that jumping the shark.
Okay. The top email, if you would, please.
Okay. It could be hard to read the bottom one because it's covered up.
By the top.
By the top one. Bob says, good morning. Wake up, America. Do you see what's going on? Nothing is going on in the White House except the wall. The wall. The West is burned out. The Midwest is flooding. The East Coast is going through climate changes, too. It's time to get something done in Washington. Donald is evil for sure, not God sent. Thank God we have Nancy in Washington. Get Trump's taxes. It will show his company spent about $25,000 to Stormy and used it as a tax write-off. Donald, we're checking with the IRS. Signed, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. We are enjoying open phones, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@kok.com. All topics, all comers, you name it, we'd like to talk about it. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yeah, good morning. The people on the left, they're real quick to denounce white males like myself as being the root of all the problems we have in the country, but over the weekend, one of their candidates for president, I guess they call him Beto O'Rourke. Beto, is that how it's pronounced?
Oh, that is his name, Beto O'Rourke. They call him that.
It's a Mexican nickname for Robert.
Robert, okay. Well, Beto kind of got involved in some news here. It turns out that when he was running for the Senate race down there in Texas, they discovered that he, as a youngster, was involved in a hacking group called the Cult of the Dead Cow, and that he also wrote some fantasy articles about murdering children. And to me, if that were a Republican, well, two things here. One, the news agency sat on it until after the election, which would have destroyed him. And secondly, if that was any Republican, we would be hearing about it, you know, for days and days and days about this guy fantasizing about killing children. So, you know, why aren't the Democrats coming out and denouncing him? I haven't heard one person talk about this from the Democrat side, and I think it's pretty serious.
Well, and worse than that, nobody has held the news media responsible or their feet to the fire for holding on to the story when they could have released it.
This story, right.
If it were Fox News, they'd be saying, well, another example of Fox being in the bag.
One of our listeners texts a note to me that says Beto also did some jail time for that.
For drunk drive and for drunk driving.
Oh, for drunk driving. Okay, not for that. Okay.
Well, his excuse for that is not really an excuse for that, but now he's admitting that he was able to get out of those, you know, issues because of his white privilege. And I mean, I can't really believe that a guy would use his white privilege to kind of dismiss something that had happened before. Now, he did say he made a mistake, and I grant that. But also, I just want to close here real quick. I hear there's a story out, I haven't read it, that right now, in Pennsylvania, Trump is leading in the generic ballot against any Democrat.
I said years ago, I didn't think, you know, the Democrats would have to come up with some kind of superlative character to unseat Trump. And so that doesn't surprise me. I think, you know, the president is very popular among, you know, 60% of the country. So I'm making up that number, but I think he is popular with most people.
Well, now Creepy Uncle Joe's planning on jumping in.
You and I are going to have to revisit
that. I listened to his speech over the weekend, and it seemed so whiny. It just turned me right off. Let me just ask you
Who is whiny?
Biden.
Joe Biden, okay.
So
all right,
whiny.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Now, let me ask you guys, right now, from your observations, who do you feel the strongest Democrat out there is out of the 18 or whatever it is?
Probably Bernie Sanders.
Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders. Those are the ones.
I saw a poll this morning. Sanders had 34% and Biden 24% among Democrats.
And then everybody else would have to be 10%
single digits,
or so.
Yeah.
Okay, single digits. Okay.
The one I'm afraid of is Kamala Harris, myself.
Well, she's pretty liberal, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, she has it all. She's keeping kind of a low profile here, letting the other people slug it out and grab all the headlines.
Well, when you're one of 13 candidates, it's hard not to be low profile.
Yeah, that's true. So, do you think we'll see a race like the Republicans had? You know, when there was 17 of them or whatever it was, and everybody was, you know, trying to gang up on one at a time, or how do you think the Democrats are going to handle it?
I think it's going to end up with money being the determining factor. If all these people are out there, you know, with their hands out looking for money to finance their campaigns, there's going to be a limited amount of dollars going to those who haven't shown that they can pull ahead of the pack in some way, shape, or form. So I would suspect a couple of the people in the lower rung probably got into it just so they might have a chance at the vice presidential nomination. But we'll see.
So what you're saying is it's going to be the same way for the Democrats as they accuse the Republicans that money controls everything.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Money is the mother's milk of politics. And if you can't raise money, you can't run.
Hey, listen, you guys have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Interesting call. Thank you. We got an email. Somebody's not happy with the president's tweets.
You want the tweet or the email?
Tweets.
Okay, the tweet. Where does personal responsibility come in, and when these idiots in the world cause problems? Everyone wants to blame Trump, never the perpetrator. Despicable. I always love Bugs Bunny's way of saying that. Despicable. No, right. Elmer Fudd. Despicable.
And now what I asked you to read, which
you
is
said
the
to
tweets.
Read the text.
No, I did not. Okay. Tweets, please.
Okay, Joe, please let me hear you defend the draft dodger-in-chief, again bashing Senator McCain over the weekend. The man has been dead and buried for 7 months. The man was imprisoned for 5 years in a North Vietnam prison. The man that then, that when called to serve, did his duty, did not hide when the women and children, as our flag-hugging wannabe patriot, late to the party president acts now. I never cared who served and who did not, but to bash veterans that defended this country and pretend that you now or know something, I think he wanted to say, know something you are not nor wanted to be, does not change your stripes. Donald Trump still, in my mind, is the same guy that used his money and bone spurs to shrink his call to duty. 58,000 died in Vietnam, men and women with more backbone than this president. A real man would honor John McCain's memory and stop feeling that he still is a threat from his grave. Well, it's hard to defend.
Says Dick, a veteran who served Dick, in Vietnam, 62 to 63.
Okay. Defending him? No, I won't defend him because I think John McCain was I don't know that he was a hero. He did his duty, and he certainly went through a lot, and he came back and served his country with distinction, in my opinion, even though I didn't always agree with him. So I agree with you. I don't think that, you know, there's old saw, don't speak ill of the dead, which apparently the president's more than willing to do in some circumstances. But in this case, I think he was upset because apparently the leak of the Steele dossier was traced back to one of Senator McCain's closest allies. So,
but there's no indication that
the senator himself knew anything about it.
Cindy, 1 minute. Nope, then we lost her. Okay, sorry about that. Well, Cindy was back on the line. We got a text since then. You got me doing it.
Says, the Democrats, the ones that hate old white men, have two old white men at the top of their presidential candidate leaderboard. Interesting.
That's well said. Yes.
Well, what's interesting, though, is that, you know, all these new left people, these Democratic socialists, are not getting the big numbers. I mean, Bernie, who's a standard socialist, and Creepy Uncle Joe, who's hard to tell what he is.
Well, Bernie's a Democratic socialist, right? That's what he says.
Over the weekend, Biden apparently slipped up and said, I have the most progressive credentials of anybody in the race. And then he backtracked and blessed himself and said, or anybody who would run for president.
Anybody who would run. I don't know. But would he beat, do you think Joe Biden could beat President Trump?
No, I don't.
I was watching Fox for a very short time over the weekend, and they ran a quick scan of all the things that Biden has said publicly lately, or in recent decades.
I think if he had been the candidate instead of Hillary Clinton, I think he'd be the president now.
Okay.
But I don't think he can beat him again.
All right. We'll take this up tomorrow at our next meeting when Joe hits the gavel as chair of the show here on The Mark. And we invite you to call in and vote your conscience by calling us or emailing us or texting us. You're listening to On The Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.